How are y'all doing? Really? It's been a week. Hasn't it been a week? Been quite a week. This last few days, I was reminded of a quote by Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers. Most all of us know who Mr. Rogers is. We either grew up watching him, or our kids watched him, or we've found him on YouTube, and we've watched him there. And what Mr. Rogers said was, when I was a boy, I would see scary things in the news. My mother would say to me, look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping. I'm not going to go into detail about the tragedy that happened in Las Vegas this last week. We've all been saturated by it with the news, the images. Plus, there's little eyes in this room that don't need to see those pictures. But what I do want to say is that in the midst of seeing the very worst of humanity, we've seen the very best of humanity. I don't want to be a church that comes together this Sunday after a week like the world has had, without acknowledging that we have a helper. Not only do we have a helper, but we're called to be helpers. When I heard the quote by Mr. Rogers, I was immediately brought back to what we talked about last week and actually the week before when Kelly Grace was here, how important it is to enter into even the messiest parts of humanity with dignity, with offering dignity and hope and help, and how Jesus himself did that for us. He entered our humanity at some of our worst moments. And he provided help for us. And this last week, as we've watched the news and we've heard stories, we've seen the same sort of help expressed over and over and over again. And so those thoughts brought me to John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, where Jesus told his disciples, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. He will give you another helper, that he will be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. Jesus was saying this to his closest friends, those who he developed a relationship with during his 3 years of ministry. And he was saying, you know him because he's abiding right beside you. He was with them in the flesh. As Marcus said earlier, you know, Jesus incarnate, Jesus in the flesh, came and was walking by his disciples. And he said, you're going to know this helper, partly because I'm here right now, but also because in the future, he's going to be abiding within you. And that's what happened to those men who walked beside Jesus. And that's what happened to us when we declared that Jesus was our Savior. We need helpers. We need to be helpers, and we have the best helper of all, the Holy Spirit. Let's pause here for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you are good. You remind us at these times how small we are and how great you are. Lord, help us to respond as you would respond when there's need around us. But help us also to rely on you, to not take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and try to accomplish things on our own. But God, help us to be more and more abandoned to you in our own lives, so that the helper can truly abide within us, provide us with all we need, which will then overflow and allow us to be like you to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So there's sermon notes available this week, and you found them on your chairs when you came in. Now, sermon notes, some people really like sermon notes because it helps to write things down. Sometimes going through the head and out the arm and the hand actually makes it sink in a little bit better. And other people have strong feelings, just the opposite. They don't care for sermon notes. So what we're doing this week and next is when you come in, there's going to be sermon notes on your chairs. And then after that, the sermon notes are going to be kept back at the facilitator table. And if you like sermon notes and want to take notes, we're going to provide those each week. And if you don't, then you don't have to mess with them. Does that sound like a good idea? Okay, so we're going to just, you know, offer them as you want. But this week and next, in order to remind you that we have them, they'll be on your chairs. So if you're taking notes, the first blank was from Mr. Rogers' quote. And so the first spot you want to add the word helpers, and the second spot you want to add the word people. We began a series last week called Activate. Activate means to set in motion. When we see the word activate, when we hear the word activate, we should be energized. It's a word that is an action, and it is energized. So this is the second blank on your sermon notes, if you're taking that. Activate means to set in motion. This series has a single focus. And that single focus is to set in motion what God has planned for our lives. We want to set that in motion. What does God have planned for our lives? We're going to watch a video in just a couple of minutes. It's a video by a group called For King and Country. And it's going to remind us of how sometimes we have to be shaken a little bit in order for whatever's within to be activated. This last week, a lot of us experienced being shaken. And it's interesting how that will allow our faith to activate. Sometimes the only way we go, I don't know, deeper, become more determined, is by taking up the challenge that God allows us to experience. So let's watch this video, and then we'll continue exploring God's word. Last week, Ted and I shared the bringing of the message, the word, and as he wrapped up, he spoke of the importance of repentance and holiness. And he invited anyone who was interested to join him in prayer and the church in prayer over the next 6 weeks for repentance and holiness. And this video that we just watched really speaks to the core of that. The core of repentance is to say, God, you can have it all. Search me, O Lord. And anything that is in here that isn't what you desire, show me, because I'm going to choose to give that up and to turn from that. So where we bring repentance and then we bring holiness, which is saying, God, set me apart, no matter the cost. I will be set apart for Jesus Christ, because my desire is to be just like Christ, who gave up everything for me. So we have repentance saying, God, seek me and find what is not satisfying, because I know there's more. I've settled for best, but I want better. And that intersects with our holiness. It says, set me apart. I am willing, God, to be different. I am willing, God, to take a stand for you because I know what you've done for me. You have delivered me and released me from the darkest, dark cave that I could imagine living in. And you have brought me into the light. And I want to speak that and I want to shout that to everyone who will listen. And even if they're not going to listen, I'm still going to shout it because it's the truth. And it's at those two things, repentance and holiness, that we get activation. That's where our faith activates. That's why activation is a word that brings about setting in motion our faith. Part of activating our faith is to come to this place where we realize we have a great need for more. In the middle of last week, sitting, watching the news, going online, seeing the news, I checked my email, not an odd thing for me to do. And I received an email from the city of Beaverton on Tuesday night. And the city of Beaverton informed me that after the first of the year, we will no longer be meeting in the community center for church on Sunday mornings. And there's not a place on Sunday afternoon or evening here either. And there's not a place on Saturday, all day or evening. I checked. Believe me, I checked. There was a place on Friday night. Okay, Friday night. Not ideal. But I'm going to grab that spot because better have something as backup just in case. So I put my reservation in for Friday night. And guess what I got yesterday? I noticed that we don't have it Friday night either. And so God made it very clear that we get to activate our faith. Some new things are happening. Some new things are coming. Okay, I want to give you guys a second to wrap your mind around that. I've had a few days. And let me tell you, initially when I got that email, my response was, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. And Ted's like, what's wrong? Oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. We were kind of getting dinner ready. I just sat there. He brought dinner. I ate. It took me a while. And as the course of the evening went on, God started talking to me a little bit more. Part of the process that our church has been in is called recalibration. So calibrate means to make sure you're set to the right standard. Our standard is Jesus Christ. We must make sure we are set to Jesus Christ as our standard. And to recalibrate means to double check and make sure that that is where we're pointed. And so part of that process has been to not just know that we have a purpose and a mission and a vision and value, but to actually go deeper and say, God, what are those things? The last week we talked about our purpose. Our purpose is to love like Jesus loves and to take that message and that love everywhere we go. And so I've spent time doing quite a bit of writing and searching. And exactly a week ago Tuesday, I met with our leadership team, and I had things written down. I had our vision written down, and our here we are now, and this is what I think God wants us to be in the future. And so I did this vision casting. And I also was planning this series, which is basically sharing with you what I've come up with. This week is about our vision. And I realized when I got the email exactly a week to the day after that vision casting meeting that Jesus was saying, now you're ready. You're ready for the next step. 2.5 years ago, we were at this exact same place. Some of you remember because you were here, part of this body. Some of you have come since then. 2.5 years ago, we moved out of our building that we owned that had been home for almost 50 years. And it was about 6 weeks before we knew we had to be out, before we even found this place. It took a great deal of faith, just saying, God, we know you have a plan for us. So two things came to me as I processed this that first evening. One, we've done it before. We know how to do it. Two, God is clear in that he has a vision for our future, and that what that takes is activating our faith and setting us on a move again. You know, when we moved in here 2.5 years ago, it was temporary, right? This is our temporary location, right? We all agree. And we were going to be here for 3 or 4 months, and then we were going to find a permanent location. And you know how it said that God's timing and our timing usually aren't the same? I can attest to that. That's very true. There's been times that I have said, God, remember this is temporary? Where's our permanent? Where's our next? And he hasn't stayed silent. He's told me a couple of things. The first thing he told me when I really came to him with that was, you guys aren't old enough yet. Okay. We had a new start. We were kind of a baby church at that point. And the next thing he said the next time I came to him was, you know how much fellowship and closeness you build by tearing this place down at the end? You're all working together, and that's what I want to see. I want to see this body work together. I want to see this body be united. I want to see this body be a community. I want to see this body be in unity. Let me tell you part of the story of what happened a little over 2.5 years ago to prompt our original move. You know, God has given us vision all along the way. And he has kept a vision in front of us. And first, let's just sum up that vision in three kind of simple points. You're going to want to write this on your sermon notes if you're taking notes. The vision at New Vision is that we are submitted to God, seeking God's will and direction first. We are committed to God, moving and doing as God directs. And we are sharing God's love unconditionally, passionately, and completely. Last spring, as part of the recalibration, as part of me digging in deeper to be a better leader and believer, we put together this vision. It wasn't a new vision. It was the vision God had given us. But we put pen to paper. Or maybe it's more like fingers to keyboard. And put something down that we can look at and say, yes, that's where God has called us and that's where we're going. We are submitted, we're going to stay submitted. We are committed, we're going to stay committed. We are sharing, and we're going to continue sharing. It gives us something to be able to say, we know who we are, and we know where we're going, and we know what kind of church we're supposed to be. So 2.5 years ago we moved, I said. But go back kind of a year before that. It was the beginning of 2014. And I wasn't pastoring here yet. I was assistant pastor, but I didn't have the leadership role that I have now. And God gave me the first vision, really, for his new church, the new vision, the new vision. I don't know. Anyway, that first vision was of a forest fire. I've shared this with some of you before. And I saw a forest fire, and it was a raging fire, and it was sweeping through a forest. And all that was left after the forest fire were tall, tall ponderosa pines. All of the underbrush had been burnt. All of the small saplings and small trees had been burnt. And at first, it kind of terrified me. Forest fires are scary. And as time went on, what God said to me was, I'm going to build a new church, and I'm going to build it out of those tall, strong trees. I grew up in Central Oregon. Ponderosa pines are really familiar to me. I don't know if they're familiar to all of you. Ponderosa pines are beautiful trees. They are tall, and they are big, and they are magnificent. And they have a reddish hue to their bark. And they're strong, and they reach to the sky. And if you stand underneath one, or if you're in the forest, they're majestic. And that was what I saw at the beginning of 2014. And then through some circumstances, in October of that year, I was appointed as senior pastor of the church. And God gave me the second vision at that point. And it wasn't so much a picture that time, it was words. And the words were, new vision needs to stop just talking about how it's going to be a church and start being the church. Now, I preached a series that year when I first started called Action. Building on each letter, A-C-T-I-O-N. I got through the first 3 weeks before I shared the second half of God's message to me. So the first half was, you got to stop sitting around talking about being a church, and you got to start being a church. Action. Set in motion that faith. The second part was, and if you don't, I'm leaving. I'm out of here, and I'm going to go find some people who will. So here we are in October of 2017 with a brand new idea, or at least a more concise direction from God. Purpose, vision, mission, values. Purpose last week. We are sharers. We share God's love. Many ways. Vision this week, submitted, committed, and sharing. Last month, I was at the evening of prayer that we had in Salem. Brian Worth was speaking, a pastor from California. And we were at a pre-prayer time. Before the service, we were praying. And this series that we're in right now had originally been titled Belonging. That's what I called it. And so we were sitting there in a prayer meeting and praying, and someone said the word activate. And it just went through me like an electric shock. And I thought, I've got to change the name of the sermon series. It needs to be activate. I love that word. That word's amazing. And so I changed the sermon series name. We started it last week. I had no idea. I really had no idea that God had this plan, that there was something new and exciting and big just around the corner. So what are the chances, and I ask this question, I think, often, that 3 years ago, when he gave us a new vision and told us, hey, little birdies, it's time to leave the nest, that we were in a series called Action. And now here we are on the threshold, or should I say maybe at the crossroads of our next move. that we're in a series called Activate. I think God has a message there for us, that he wants us to continue to set in motion that which he has planned for this church. So as I shared the second half of his vision a couple years ago, 3 years ago, which was, you guys better start acting on your faith. Set that faith in motion, or I'm out of here. Needless to say, this is where our relationship with God moved to a deeper level. We had to choose to scatter or unite. We had to choose to scatter or unite. During that first series, Action, every week God led me to encourage the body of believers who were with us at the time to actually do something, to act at the end of every sermon. The first week it was simply, I want you all to stay in your seats, and as the last song is being sung, if you are on board and if you're ready to be the Church of Jesus Christ, put your faith to action during that song, simply stand. And I remember that was my first sermon I preached as this new senior pastor, and I sat down by Ted and I squeezed his leg so hard that I had no idea whether there'd be a response. Was this church going to respond? The second week, so we went through ACTION. First week was acknowledge where we were, where we had come from. We were a hurting church. There were many people who I spoke to who said, I feel like an island. I don't feel connected, even those who were in charge of ministry. God needed to bring us together and make us a family and a community again. But A was acknowledge, C was confess. Very much like the video we watched a few moments ago. Oh, God, forgive me. It was to find deep inside, where had our apathy come from? Where had our discouragement come from? Where had we lost our determination to be an active, united, loving body that was serving Jesus Christ in the way he wanted us to be? How did we end up at this place of being dry bones and almost feeling like we might be dying? How did we end up at this place where our finances were just like obliterated? How did all that happen? And what part do we have to play in it? Oh God, forgive us. And that week, the action was a little bit more of a stretch. That week, we were meeting in a big building then, big auditorium. He had me get a large basket and fill it with rocks. Different size rocks, and put it all the way at the back of the room. And I asked people at the end of that day to sit with God, not to just get up, not to just do something because they were told, but to really sit with God. And when he showed and identified in them that area that needed confessing, that they needed to get up, walk to the back of the room, get a rock, and then walk back to the front of the room with the rock and put it at the base of the cross. Do any of you guys remember doing that? Oh, there's our tall ponderosas. Raise your hands again. There's our ponderosas from which this body has been built. Ever since then, and some of you may wonder sometimes, we always have rocks by our cross. If you ever go over there to kneel or sit, there is always a basket of rocks, because we are always to be asking God to search us. And anything that he shows us that does not belong in Christ's temple, God's temple, we give over to him. That's why there's always a basket of rocks. We walked through those 6 weeks, and we ended the series at now. N for now. And it was at that point that we submitted ourselves to follow wherever Jesus led. And what that felt like was that everything from that moment on was going so strongly against our wishes, because we found out we had to sell our building. And I pleaded. I went to the conference board and I said, no, this church has been through so much already. We lost a pastor and we're a mess, and we're just getting ourselves picked back up again. We partnered with the community. We're doing it. We're being the church. Give us a chance. We had to sell our church. We had to do it. And it wasn't because any people were against us or mean to us. It was because God knew we needed to shed that in order to really, really be free and to be the new vision. We accepted that was God's will, and we moved into what we called the Promised Land. And I remember preaching and saying, you know, when the Israelites went into the Promised Land, guess what they did? They camped. They didn't have a great building. They didn't have the temple. They didn't have the tabernacle either. They camped. We're going to camp. This is where we're camping. 3 or 4 months, we're camping here. Well, here we are 2.5 years later. We're camping. And he has said, pick up camp. We're moving further into the Promised Land. So this is where we became submitted, seeking God's will and direction first, and this became part of our DNA. Another vision that you might remember, some of you, was of a mountain climb. We climbed a mountain for a very long time here. I got so tired of climbing that mountain. But the idea behind this mountain climb was that together we were going to increase in our faith. And we were going to do it and realize that it was going to be as hard as a mountain climb if we were going to increase our faith. It uses muscles that we maybe have not used for a very, very long time, but we're going to do it. And we're going to go up that mountain together. And anyone who's struggling, we're going to help them along so that we all get to the mountaintop at the same time. And that went on for months. And all of our action groups at that time studied the Sermon on the Mount. So we were all on this mountain climb together. I don't ever feel like we made it to the top of the mountain. I really don't. And I think I know why now. And I think I know why, because I've matured more as a leader. We will never make it to the top of the mountain, this side of heaven. Our faith walk is continually growing. And if we ever feel like we've made it, we're fooling ourselves. And so we're still on this mountain climb together, but fortunately, I've gotten off of that hamster wheel. You are welcome. But during that mountain climb, with the focus that we were going to do it together, and that anyone who didn't have the same amount of strength, the same amount of faith, we were going to come along beside and assist, we learned through that how to walk with others and how relationships within our body and caring for fellow believers is an integral part of our identity. And then, as I've repeated over and over, through what felt like a very long time, we've waited for God to show us where our next home would be. Because, after all, the community center is just temporary. We kept our determination to follow Jesus. We were wholly submitted, which again is found at the intersection of repentance and holiness. And our vision has grown deeper in the determination that we are committed moving and doing as God directs. And moving and doing up to this point has mostly been seated in our service in the community. St. Child and Tualatin Valley Gleaners, we serve once a month as a church body. We go out into the community. We just give with no expectation of return. We simply give because there are needs. And in, week after next is our next action at St. Child, Saturday morning action. It's in your program or your e-news for more information. And what we've been trying to also grasp is that it's not just that we're a church that meets needs. We don't just sit back and say, hey, I belong to a church and we are so cool. We go out and help the community. We try to individualize that. We are working on becoming more and more aware that as individuals, we say, I am empowered and equipped to help meet needs. We'll be expanding our reach into the community over the next few months. That is part of the plan and the vision that God has unfolded. And we will more fully look at how that's going to look over the next few weeks and actually probably months. But we've learned and relearned one other, probably maybe most important thing. The church is not defined by the building. Can you guys say that with me? The church is not defined by the building. Being a church is defined by relationships. Fulfilling the Great Commission is accomplished by building our own relationship with Jesus, by building relationships with each other, with other believers, and by building relationships with those who do not yet know Christ. We model our lives after Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:12, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. Each one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, talk about Jesus' life. And what we see him doing over and over and over is connecting with people. He connected, he built relationships. He had his 12 closest disciples who were fully aware of. He actually had 72 disciples. And then there were the 12 who were closer. And there were three who were his closest friends. And out of those, he had one who was his best friend. And then there were the multitudes who came to him. And what did he do when they came to him? He fed them and he gave them water to drink. He gave them living water and he gave them the bread of life. And we have the ability to offer the same because he tells us we will do the same things that he has done, only greater because he has sent the Holy Spirit. We are Jesus' followers who share God's love. Unconditionally, passionately, and completely. So all that history and all that background has brought us to a crossroads. It's brought us to this crossroads. Ironically, coincidentally, probably not. The sermon last week was called Crossroads. Talk to all of you about the crossroads that you all might be facing. Here we are together at a crossroads facing that, saying, God, what's next? And the what's next is here now. Where are we going to be meeting after the first of the year? No drum roll. There must not be an announcement. I don't know. You know who knows? God knows. Yay, God. He knows. And we're going to figure, and he's going to share it. He is going to share it. You know what I thought would happen? I thought that we would find property to buy, either with a building on it or without, because actually we're sitting in really great financial shape. We have nearly $500,000 from the sale of our building. We are in the process of being approved for another nearly $500,000. And we have a building fund that is building up every month because we purposely in our budget are putting money into a building fund every month to be in the practice of paying a mortgage. And so we're sitting in pretty good shape. And so my idea was that we would find a place and we'd get it ready for ourselves, and then we would take a little time to settle in, and then we would let the community center know we were leaving, and then we would move in. Isn't that a great picture? Isn't that great? That's a great picture. What's missing? There's one thing missing from that picture. Faith. God's plan. Faith was missing from that picture. Letting God be the one, letting Him be the one in control. Do you have a clear picture now of our vision? The vision provides us with what God has in mind for us as this particular body of believers. It answers the question where we're going. Here's where we're going. Submitted, committed, and sharing. Submitted, committed, and commissioned. Next week, I look forward to bringing you a sermon that will speak to our mission called Mission Possible. This is a great adventure. This is a great adventure. You agree? Yes? Amen? Okay. Let's say that together. This is a great adventure. All right. All aboard. So we're going to close out our teaching this morning with a verse from Isaiah 43:19. This is the verse from which our name, New Vision Fellowship, was decided. We originally, 1966, were incorporated as Beaverton Free Methodist Church. 30 years ago, decided to change our name, came up with New Vision Fellowship, and it was from this verse. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. God is doing a new thing. At the time that this was chosen, it was more of a hope. This has become our reality. God uses the prophetic. That is what this verse speaks to. So we move into our next steps now. I want you to take out your connection card, find the next steps. It's in your program. And in the next steps, the first three steps are basically submitted, committed, and sharing. The last one is about relationship. You might have noticed during the sermon that there were some slides that popped up, flashed up, that spoke to relationship. Now, you know how when you're searching for real estate, they say the three most important things are location, location, location. Well, when we're building a church, you know what the three most important things are? Relationship, relationship, relationship. You'll want to fill that in on your sermon notes if you're taking sermon notes. So in your next steps, check the boxes that pertain to you. There's a spot on your sermon notes for next steps, and they'll always be there every week. You can write your next steps down so you can actually remember them now. Take them home, refer to them for weeks and months ahead. I would like to have Marcus come up and we'll go into our response time now. As he is coming forward, I want to remind you or say a couple of things, share a couple of things. One, Financial Peace University starts tonight, 6:30. Jeff Beatles is the one coordinating that. If you want to come and you have not signed up yet, it's not too late. If you want to come and you don't want to sign up and say, I commit to 10 weeks, guess what Jeff is offering? A free night tonight. So you can come tonight, try it out, get the handout of just tonight's information, and then decide after you try it if you want to commit to it. The other thing is that if you have prayer requests, I want you to be sure and share that. If it's confidential, check the confidential box. We're putting together a new directory. If anything has changed since last year, or actually a little over a year ago, make sure you fill out in its entirety your contact information on the connection card. Or if you were not in the directory over a year ago, then please give us your information so that as we put that together, we'll be sure to include you. So as we sing our closing song, respond to the Holy Spirit as you are led. Be activated today in your faith. Visit the cross station. Take a rock. Feel free. Give over to God what you need to give. Kneel, sit, shout, sing, dance, cry, laugh. Connect. Respond. Marcus?